You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode of the A-List Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, Indeed.com, and Rocket Money. Welcome into the A-List Podcast. I'm Kwani Lunis, joined by Ashaw Blakely and Gary Washburn. Welcome to another week of the pod, friends. Welcome, welcome. How you doing?
Glad to be here, Kwani. Glad to be here. Glad that you're here, Kwani.
Thank you, Gary. How you feeling?
Good to be here. Good to be here.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. All right, so let's just talk about, let's get right into it. No need to catch up. I don't really care what y'all been up to. Let's talk about the Celtics. They've been down bad in a little in the last few games, despite losing two of the last three, though, blowing that double-digit lead in Miami, losing 98-95. Late-game execution is very questionable at this point. Let's talk about the Miami game first. What did you two see towards the end of that game, and what do they need to fix right now?
Well, I think first you've got to acknowledge the fact that they were without damn near half of their regular rotation.
Fair, very fair. I shouldn't upset that.
And that has to be factored into it. But the way that game concluded, it highlighted, I think, the biggest concerns that the Celtics have as they inch closer and closer towards the end of the regular season into the playoffs. What are they going to do when it comes to late game execution? And I thought from a coaching standpoint and from a player standpoint, I thought they failed miserably in that Miami game. Joe Mazzulla has to be better in those moments, and Jason Tatum has to be better in those moments. And when you've got both of those two dynamics struggling to do the things that have to be done in order to be successful, you're going to get games like that where you blow a 10-point lead with like 7-8 minutes to play and have plenty of opportunities to put that thing away and fail to do so.
Yeah, I was they just shut down in the fourth quarter. And I think, first of all, it should have never come down to the last play of the game where the Tatum walking the ball at the floor. But Mazzulla's got to call a timeout in that situation, first of all. Like, you can't let Tatum just doom. And what they do? They blitzed him. The dude who came off the pick was Robert Williams. So, of course, which is who they want him to pass it to 25 to 30 feet away from the basket. So Robert sets the pick. Jason looks and says, okay, I can't throw it to Robert because Robert ain't going to, like, it's not like he's going to dribble penetrate and attack the rim. He's going to pass somebody else. So I need to pass it like cross court to Grant for maybe a winning three or whatever. Obviously failed miserably. Hero picked off the ball. They lose. I was more annoyed about this game. And I heard you guys talk last night. Well, the expectations were low because they're missing fourth target, but you had a chance to win that game. Like, they dominated the second half all the way to about 7 minutes left. One, like, where was the defense on Adebayo? You can't just let him shoot from 15. He can shoot from 15 feet. That's what you want Robert Williams to be able to do maybe one day. But they just let him in the winning bucket. You got him guarded by Peyton Pritchard. Like, what's going on here? Because you doubled and trapped Tyler Hero, who had, like,
3 for 16, I think, at that point.
Was 4 for 1,000 from the field. It was Adebayo was a dude who was scorching hot, and you let him score the winning basket on Peyton Pritchard. That's a problem. Secondly, people were like, well, Derek White came through. Derek White was 0-for-4 in the fourth quarter, had open shots. Like, I just need to see more of a clutch gene from Derek White. Like, I need to see more. Last night, Tatum had, you know, Tatum was 1-for-4. I'm looking at the fourth quarter here. Peyton Pritchard was 1-for-6. Peyton just struggled. Okay. But Derek White, 12 minutes, 0 for 4, no points, a minus 10. Like, you know, you need more when Derek White conceivably is your second best player or second most productive scorer. You need something from Derek White in the fourth quarter. Like, you just, and I said, Tatum had 31, White had 23, but he had no points in the fourth quarter. You got to have a dude step up and knock down shots. I need to see more of a clutch gene from Derek White on nights like this where you're not going to have everybody. And let's face it, they're going to start giving guys some rest, I believe. Al's not going to play no more back-to-backs, as we know. Yeah, the whole lower back stiffness, he's just getting rest. Mm-hmm. They're going to manage Jalen's injury. Derek White's going to be important to them. And I don't know who knows what the situation is with Malcolm, if he'll be back. I think he was off the injured list, so he should be back for the Knicks game on Thursday. But Derek White's got to step up. And also Sam Hauser, 5 threes, 0 for 5 from three-point line. He's like, I'll give Peyton a break. He was chucking them, and he was not good from the field. But Sam Hauser, you look at what Hayward Highsmith did. Hayward Highsmith changed that game. Like, as much as Adebayo took it home, it was a 10-point lead, and Hayward Highsmith hit two corner threes to make it to 4, and then all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh, and then the Celtics stopped scoring. So Hauser's got to hit open shots. There's no reason to have him out there if he's going to go 0 for 6. So if I'm the Celtics, you got to think long and hard about whether Hauser's a guy who can help you this season. Well, is he going to snap out of this? Or do you need to get another shooter? Because if Hauser is going to have these nights where he goes 0 for 6, 0 for 5 from 3, you know, he did a lot of good things. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, you know. He had 2 blocks and a steal. So he did little things. I'm not ripping him totally, but 0 for 6. I mean, you know.
They need the scoring.
They need him to score when he's out there.
Right?
You know, it was a game they should have won. Because if you look at the Heat, Hayward Highsmith was good, but Kyle Lowry had 2 points. You know, Tyler Hero had 9 points. You know what I'm saying? Like, Max Strus had 13, and I think it was all in the first half. He didn't score
in the first half, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, Victor Oladipo went 5 for 16. So this was not a – defensively, they were fine. He shot 36%. But they also got 14 offensive rebounds, which is, you know – and I'm going to ask this to you guys. Like, can Robert Williams not do anything with Adebayo defensively? Like – isn't he supposed to try to stop him a little bit? Like, why is Adebayo acting like Williams ain't even on the court? Like, I don't know. Like, is that a bad matchup?
Well, yeah. I think a couple things, Gary. One, I think Miami did a really good job, and they were very conscious and intentional in trying to get Rob off of him. And I didn't think Rob did a good enough job when they were trying to switch to stay with Bam. And so Rob's got to get better at that on certain nights where his presence on a particular player on the other side of the ball is critical. Bam Adebayo is one of those guys. And the other thing, too, I think Robins did not have a good night. And Rob, the one thing he's doing now, Gary, and I'm sure you probably picked up on this, is when he's getting the ball on offense, he's not just looking to move the ball like 95% of the time. He's actually looking to score a little bit more. And so I think that emphasis on him looking to score more, I think it's taking a little bit away from his edge defensively. Because Rob, again, the biggest problem I had with him wasn't so much what Bam did to him, but the fact that he didn't work hard enough to stay with Bam. Mm-hmm. Bam's a smart player. I mean, yo, if I got the Rock and Rob's on me, we run action to get me switched out on Peyton Pritchard. The minute I see Peyton's on me, I'm rising up. I'm not looking to pass. I'm not looking to
have that happen in the fourth quarter. Yeah. The last minute of a game. Like, you can't have Peyton Pritchard trying to guard Bam Adebayo. It's not fair.
Barbecue chicken.
If Tyler Hero hits a 28-foot three, then okay, you tip your cap. But if you give Bam Adebayo, who has shown the ability to hit the 15-footer, a 15-footer with basically
unguarded.
Yes, with Webster, Gary Coleman guarding him like this.
No, he didn't go Webster, Gary.
You know,
damn, Gary.
What, six, like, with the bounce in the house, it's too easy.
Damn.
It's too easy. So I thought there were coaching mistakes. But I also thought Derek White and I'll blame Tatum for that final turnover. Tatum should have attacked the rim, got to the rack, and you know, Spoelstra outcoached him, Missoula with the zone. But, you know, and some shots just didn't go down. But they've got to have more from White. They can't he can't go scoreless in the fourth quarter in a game where you're the second best scorer. Hauser's got to do more offensively. I mean, Hauser's in this slump, and is this him or is this a slump? Because he has not been good since November. And you're going to rely on him because he's going to get open shots. You want him to be a game changer like Haywood Highsmith was last night. I'm not saying Haywood Highsmith is better, but Haywood Highsmith will shoot damn ball. And he's a game changer because you've got to focus on Hero. You've got to focus on Strews. You've got to focus on Oladipo. So Haywood Highsmith is going to get open shots. And when you knock open shots down, it makes you much harder to defend. And I just didn't see it, it puts a lot of pressure on other guys when Hauser just ain't hitting shots.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Sure. So it seems like you were evenly distributing the blame for the specifically the Miami loss, but I'm going to narrow it down to two people. Who would you give the bigger slice of the blame pie to? Would it be Jason Tatum or Joe Mazzulla?
Who you got, Gary?
I'm going to give it to Mazzulla. I just thought the timeout, I thought the defense, letting Bam get the ball, that was really reminiscent of the bubble. Remember how Bam like couldn't be guarded by Daniel Tice in the bubble? It was real reminiscent of that. He played point forward, point center, however you want to call it. He handled the ball. He ran the offense. He got to its exact spots. He got to the rim. You know, the one play where he dribbled all the way down the floor and split, I think, Derek and Pritchard and just dunked it like there was no resistance. And I just think that that's Missoula's got to figure out, get the ball out of his hands. If Tyler Hero, who was not good last night, hits a couple, okay, he hit a couple of key shots down the stretch, you got to tip your cap. But you cannot let Adebayo square up from 15 feet and then hit a nice open jumper. That's his shot. Like, the whole thing about defense is not letting guys get to their shots. And Adebayo, I don't know if anybody needs to know more. Like, the dude can shoot from mid-range. Right. He's not a three-point shooter, but damn it, at 13 to 18 feet, he can knock it down. That's why he's added to his game. That's why he's probably potential, you know, all-star this year. And a guy to make the Olympic team. So I blame Mazzulla more for not making those adjustments, getting out-coached by Spoelstra, and then not calling a timeout, doing the whole, like, I'm going to say, go ahead. Like, the game is not tied.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to score here. Mm-hmm. So get to the free throw line. Get Tatum dribbles, then all of a sudden he gets blitzed. Robert's the one that, like, Robert runs out because he calls Robert out for a pick. Why he's not going to give it to Robert because Robert's got to do so. Robert ain't going to take no jumper. If you want to, if you want, switch it to where Grant sets the pick. Then Grant comes off the pick, and then at least you give him an open three to try to win the game. Yeah. If that, you know, because Grant's about 40% from three, you're giving yourself a better chance to win. Have Grant come out there, set a physical screen, pop off the screen. Tatum goes, here, Grant, your game. Take us home. If he misses, okay.
You
got a shot. But Tatum looks and goes, I can't throw it to Robert. Let me try to throw a skip pass across the court in the corner to Grant. I mean, you know, and Jason's not that great of a pass. That's a LeBron Jokic pass. That's a pass that only great passers know how to make, throwing at the right velocity, understanding where Hero's going to be to make sure he doesn't intercept it, all that stuff. So I'm blaming Mazzulla.
Sherrod, who are you blaming?
Yeah, and I'm with you on that one, Gary. Because when you think about it, the biggest mistakes that Tatum made were all predicated on the fact that there wasn't a stoppage of play before that. Missoula had a chance with about 20 seconds of play to come up with something that could position him to, you know, extend the game, and he didn't. He deferred to Tatum, who was not having a great game. I think at that point, Tatum had 6 turnovers. That's problematic. I think, and again, I've said this before, and I stand by it. Joe Mazzulla does not yet have a comfortable pulse for how to navigate this team down a stretch. It seems that the default mode for him is to defer to the players, which when you have great players like Tatum and Brown, it works. But there's some nights where you can't default to that. Sometimes you actually have to sit their asses down and have a conversation and figure out, what are we going to do next? This is how we're going to close the game out. And Joe, he's got to have a better pulse for when he needs to inject himself into that particular aspect of the game and when to kind of play hands off. Because right now, I'm nervous about that if I'm a Celtics fan, because those are the kind of mistakes that they're not going to kill you in the first 82 games. They probably won't kill you in the first or maybe even the second round. But when you get to the conference finals and NBA finals, though, the inability to do well in those particular moments is probably going to cost you a game, and that game may very well cost you that series. And you, for all the good things that you've done this year, that is what's going to be the one thing people latch onto with Joe Mazzulla, and that's his inability to call timeouts. You listen to both the national broadcast of Celtics games and the local one, and at some point, they make some reference to the fact that he doesn't call timeouts. And I know he gets a little kind of, you know, he bristles at that a little bit. And Gary knows that better than any of us. But that's besides the point. There's an easy way to rectify that. Do a better job of using your timeouts. You don't got to use every damn one of them, but damn, use them when they're appropriate. A 15-0 run is not when you should call a timeout. 8-0 run is kind of when you should start.
Yeah, you see timeouts. It hurting. When you see change personnel, get some new guys in there.
Or just stop the damn game.
Just take a break. But letting it get really bad before, you know, the whole, like, I want to test my guys, I guess. But I just thought that was an extremely winnable game. You're up 87-77. You're in control. Miami's not, has no momentum, no juice. And then I said Highsmith hit those 2 threes, and then all of a sudden, bam, got going. And Robert just kind of disappeared. Like, I need to see more from Robert defensively. Like, this is what you got him for, to try to put some kind of resistance against Adebayo. Adebayo should not have had it that easy in the fourth quarter last night. It just that was not good. I was discouraged by that. And, when we get Horford back, you can say that. You can say, if you're set at the fan, well, Horford, now the 36-year-old guy's got to be the Bam stopper. Like, this is what you have Robert Williams for. So put him in a better position to defend, push a guy out from his spot. If Bam hits a 22-footer, okay. But right there at the top of the key with Peyton Pritchard on him, and Peyton's doing the best he can, he's looking like, oh, come on, little dude. There's two for you. You know, like, come on. That's just like, that's a coaching issue. Peyton should be put in that position.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, if you bet on the Celtics for that game, clearly you're very disappointed at this point. But here's the thing. BetOnline still remains your number one source for all your sports betting.
Spread, though.
They did. See, there you go. So you're not too disappointed.
That's
not
too much.
Good point.
Somebody made some money.
Miami by 4, the last I saw.
Hey. Perfect. So hopefully, perfect. If you knew that, you went to betonline.ag to make sure that you covered the spread. They remain your number one source when you think about the NFL playoffs coming up, Super Bowls right around the corner, pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and so much more. You'll always find the latest odds and matchup info on BetOnline. They have free contests, live scores for almost any and every sport and game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today and use your mobile device as well, laptop, whatever you need to do. You can receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. You'll just need that promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. Once again, that's CLNS50 for a 50% welcome bonus for your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, where the games start. So let's quickly look at the injury report for that game. Like we mentioned earlier, that was a big factor in this loss. Brown out with abductor management. Marcus Smart, ankle sprain. Al Horford, as you mentioned, had that lower back stiffness that he's been dealing with generally. Malcolm Brown, yeah. I mean, you know,
always flares up on the second game of back-to-back.
Look, let that man get some rest. And of course, Malcolm Brown.
Oh, in Miami. Oh.
In Miami, of all places.
Oh, my back is flaring up.
And then Malcolm Brogdon, personal reasons. Have we figured out what exactly the personal reasons have been just yet? I know it's supposed to be personal for a reason, but we're nosy.
He was listed as questionable with personal reasons. Against Toronto, I want to say. Then he played, and then the last two games. So, you know, whatever it is, and let's hope all the best. It's not a family issue or anything
That.
He'll be back on, you know, he's supposed to be back Thursday against the Knicks.
Exactly. And as of the most recent Celtics injury report for the next game, Gallinari, of course, is out still, but Marcus Smart is the only one that's listed with a right ankle sprain. But overall, from looking back at that Miami game, who was the most concerning absence for the two of you, that the fact that they weren't even in the game?
Well, the guy that I just, you know, I'm just amazed at just how he's finding ways to contribute is Al Horford. Yeah. I think, I mean, Al, he's becoming an incredibly effective defender. That's the value that you're really getting out of Al at a fairly consistently high level when he's on the floor. And you're going to need that in the playoffs. And when he's not there, because remember, Rob is still building up towards playing Rob Williams-like minutes. You know, him and I had a conversation a few weeks ago about, you know, people forget that last season in the playoffs, his last three games, he played 30-plus minutes. And he'd only had one other stretch the entire season where he did that. So he was literally at the end of the season, exactly where you wanted him to be in terms of minutes played. And so he's still building up towards that. And not having Al around complicates things even more so, because you, in a perfect world, he would gobble up a lot of those Rob minutes. But because Rob is still to some degree ratcheting up towards that, he's not going to be as on the court as he would like to be, and certainly they want him to be, and thus his impact is going to be limited. And that's why Al Horford is so important, because there's a domino effect that happens to this team when he's not there. And conversely, there's an app that they feel a lot more comfortable with the roles that their bigs are in when you can include Al in that conversation. So Al's the guy that I think he's going to be one of the more important guys going forward because of how he helps everyone else and the team, for that matter, be better.
Yeah, I'm going to say Malcolm. Because of his ability to get buckets. And last night in the fourth quarter, they needed a bucket getter. They needed somebody who can get to the free throw line, get to the rim, hit a three. They just didn't have that. And you can't put it, you know, Tatum. The thing is that, you know, like Tatum's minutes, you want to ration them. I think he might have come in a tad bit too late, because he comes in with this, here I am to save the day. And he wasn't able to do that. I think he had 3 points in the fourth quarter, the and one that brought the Celtics, I think, within a point or 2 points. But Brogdon would have been able to be in there and get you a bucket, because they were just suffering for that 6 minute stretch where they couldn't score. Like Grant couldn't score at the rim. Peyton was missing threes. I think Robert had a putback that rimmed out. You know, Hauser missed a three, you know, and then I said, Derek White, I mean, had a bunch of floaters and he had an open three just off. And as I said, I hate to harp on Derek White, but I'm harping on Derek White, I guess.
You always harp on Derek White. You hate Derek White.
I think I love Derek White.
You hate
him. He had a nice season, but I need to see more of the clutch gene. I needed to see him down the stretch get a couple of key buckets for this team and say, no, Jason, you don't have to do everything, because it came to Jason trying to save the day. And But I think Malcolm would have probably, they win that game with Malcolm because he would have gotten to the rim, got to the free throw line, stopped that tie to that 15-0 run, and maybe the Celtics pull ahead a little bit more. But I think his absence, I think obviously they missed Marcus's ball handling and his ability to distribute. They missed Al, probably defending Adebayo. Of course they missed Jalen, but I think Malcolm's absence stood because you want to give Jalen a night off or two. He's getting a break here, but I think that Malcolm absence just robbed them of anyone besides Tatum who could consistently score in the fourth quarter, right? I mean, I just think Peyton, I don't want to, if I'm a Celtics fan, I'm not trying to depend on Peyton to get me, you know, 10 points in the fourth. It could happen or whatever, but I think his, when he scores, he hits that open three or whatever, that's a good thing and that's a bonus for this team as opposed to like, okay, Peyton, get us a bucket. Like, Malcolm would be capable of that.
Well, if your roster is looking like the Celtics roster did, then we have the solution for you. No one has a business like yours with all its strengths and challenges. To succeed, you need a hiring partner that adapts to your needs. You need Indeed. Indeed is a hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. So instead of spending multiple hours on multiple job sites, you just head to Indeed and they'll have all the tools you need to be able to find the right candidate for the job. With their instant match tool, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches the job description the moment they sponsor a job. Indeed makes it so easy to hire. It takes 10 minutes or less for most small business owners and employers to post a job and then hopefully find the right person for the job. When you sponsor on Indeed and you post on the Indeed website in the US, you're actually 3 times more likely to get a hire according to Indeed data. Even better, Indeed is the only job site where you can only pay for applications that meet your must-have requirements. Again, you're saving so much time getting straight to the source. You need a shooter, you need a wing, whatever you need, they have it on their website. So you can start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post. All you'll need to do is go to Indeed.com/A-list, offer good for a limited time. You can claim once again that $75 credit right now on Indeed.com/A-list. Indeed.com/A-list. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Now, we talked about Miami. Let's look ahead to a bigger matchup that's coming to town. The Celtics are facing the New York Knicks. And of course, that's going to be an exciting matchup on Thursday. The Lakers is obviously the game right after that. So it's a really busy weekend for the Boston Celtics. But let's focus on New York really quickly. They're currently 7 in the East, 3 games out of the 5th seed. What matchup are you looking most forward to seeing from this matchup between the Celtics and the Knicks?
Julius Randle against anybody. Because I think you'll see Julius matched up on Tatum. You'll see him matched up on Jalen. Sometimes you'll see him matched up at times with Al, Rob. All those guys are going to get a taste of Julius Randle. And this is for Julius and the Knicks. This is a huge game because they're starting to play much better. This is a potential first round matchup that they might see. And so they absolutely want to come out and just, you know, pull the upset off. But Julius, I give him credit. He's doing his thing. He's averaging almost 25 points a game, 10 plus boards, 4 dimes, shooting about 35% from three and over 46% from the field. So he's having a good season. But I just think the Celtics are just too deep, too talented. And I think going to this game, they're going to have a little edge to them because they know that Miami game is one that they should have won. They gave that game away and they know that, and they don't want to, you know, back that up with another giveaway game. So I expect them to play well. I expect them to minimize Julius Randle's impact and get back on the winning track.
I think it'll be a very difficult game for the Celtics because the Knicks, one, are a better road team at home. Two, they have 3 legitimate scorers in Brunson, R.J. Barrett, and Julius Randle, in addition to like guys like Quentin Grimes and Emmanuel Quigley. Like, you know, the one thing that guy they're missing, the big man, what's the big guy's name? Can't remember the big guy's number 26 or 23. I'll have to look him up.
I'll look it up.
Yes.
Nah, I don't know.
Yeah. Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah. We all do that. Come on.
Mitchell Robinson. They're missing him. He's out with a finger injury. But the Knicks are an athletic team. They're going to play hard. They're going to play good defense. They're going to make it hard on themselves. This is not going to be an easy game. The Knicks are obviously up and down club, but they're still in playoff, you know, the playoffs of the season into the day. So I think a very difficult stretch here for the Celtics when you get the Lakers coming in on Saturday. And I think they're going to have AD in that game now because I think he's supposed to play against the Spurs on Wednesday. But my matchup I'm looking forward to is Tatum against RJ Barrett. Can they keep Barrett kind of contained? Barrett has the ability to have a big night, and so does Jalen Brunson. So I just think the Celtics have to play good defense in this game. It's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a slugfest because both teams play good defense. The Knicks are going to be well rested. They're not, you know, they're going to be coming in national TV game. They're going to want to make a statement. They're going to want to show the Celtics that they're forced to be reckoned with down the road if they meet in the playoffs. So very difficult game for the Celtics. Not an easy one. If you're a Celtic fan, you would love to come home to, you know, Charlotte or somebody, a cupcake, or as my man John says, tomato can. But the schedule continues to get more difficult with New York, LA,
and big then cities.
Then Phoenix and Brooklyn. So it'll be tough.
Yeah, it'll be tough. But you know what's not tough? Making a decision to jump on the Rocket Money train. Yes, Rocket Money, saving you lots and lots of money. And they're doing it the way that I think just makes a lot of sense. We all have lots of subscription, but let's be real. Are you wasting money on those subscriptions? 80% of people have subscriptions that they forget about. And maybe for you, it's an unused Amazon Prime account or Hulu account that never gets streamed. But there's this great app that you can use that helps you track all of your expenses. And because of it, you no longer waste money on subscriptions that you don't even use. Can we all use that in our lives? You might have heard of it. It's called Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. Do you know how much you're really spending on subscriptions? Most Americans think it's around $80, but that's just not true. When the actual cost is closer to $200+. And that, for me, when I started using Rocket Money, that was an eye-opener. Like, damn, I spend that much money? The way that they break it down is really, really simple. And they're able to show you where you might be having some wasteful spending. So, listen, that's right. You could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. And again, Rocket App is a great app, and I love using it because it takes care of a lot of that for me. It's called Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. The app shows you all your subscriptions in one place and then cancels for you whatever you don't still want. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions that you didn't know you were paying for. You may even find out that you've been double charged for subscription. And to cancel it is super, super, super easy. All you have to do is go onto the app, press cancel, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. So get rid of those useless subscriptions, Gary Washburn, with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/A-list. Seriously, it can save you hundreds and hundreds of dollars, Gary. That's rocketmoney.com/A-list. Cancel those unnecessary subscriptions right now at, once again, rocketmoney.com/A-list. Back to Kwani A. Lunis.
No, I got to quickly add, I signed up for Rocket Money a while ago when we first decided to be partners with them. And I finally logged in and did the whole thing. It definitely called me out on the things I'm spending and helped me reset for the new year and figure out where do I need to properly be spending money. So I can vouch for the effectiveness of that app. But before we wrap up, what have you two been up to?
Well, today, I'm working on a story for ebony.com, and I had a chance to talk with an athlete. Some of you might be familiar with. Her name is Serena Williams.
I never heard of her. Why you talk to Serena?
Yeah. We talked for about 10, 15 minutes earlier today. Good conversation. The gist of our conversation was focused on just gender equity, specifically making sure that the opportunities that present themselves for men and women when it comes to things such as, I don't know, Super Bowl ads are comparable. But that's part of her platform that she's been really a strong, outspoken advocate for a long time. And we talked about that. We talked about just kind of the genesis of where that came from. And that'll be coming out in Ebony in the next week or so, certainly before the Super Bowl. She's partnering with Anheuser-Busch, who has also made a pretty strong presence when it comes to gender equity. And we get into with some of the things that they've done as well. But yeah, that's pretty much what's on the plate now.
I love that. Gary, what do you have to
Just continue to cover Celtics. got some other things down the road, a second book that I'm working on. I'll give you guys more details as it kind of finalizes.
You heard it here first, people.
Yeah, finalizes. It's almost, it's about, we're in the finishing touches. Mm-hmm. And also, the Celtics will be applying for the 2026 All-Star Game. So
yes,
all your folks, you know, all your Boston people, mm-hmm. you're ready for All-Star Weekend in 3 years. I know it's a long way away.
I'm excited for that. I might stick around for a little
get your party plans together.
Get
your event planning going, because I know it's going to be, because Kawani's party is going to be the party to be.
We're going to tell them that. I'll make sure all of our listeners get an invite as well.
Yeah,
sure.
First, it'll be Boston's first All-Star game since 1964. And so I think a big sign for the city to kind of take a step forward and being a big time city, as we've seen. If you live in Boston, the refurbishing of TD Garden, all the obviously club, restaurants, all of that now, the refurbishing of the seaport, more hotels now. It's a city that's way more equipped to host a big event like this.
Yeah.
Than it probably was 10 or 15 years ago. So I think it's good for the Celtics, good for the NBA, and good for the city to be able to just showcase itself for that All-Star game in 2026.
That's a big deal for Boston. I'm looking forward to hopefully them winning that bid. On Tuesday, quickly, I moderated a panel that the Celtics did. They have this initiative called Spread the Health. And this one specifically was about caregivers. If you care for an elderly loved one, or even just you care for your kids, they basically broke down. They had professionals break down how to properly take care of people that you love, but also make sure you're taking care of yourself in the interim. So whenever that goes up, I'll probably post it on social media. I thought it was a really insightful conversation, and shout out to the Celtics for obviously focusing on success on the court, but also having these initiatives off the court and being in the community. They were in Chelsea for that panel. But that's all I have. This has been a great episode of the A-List podcast. Thank you to all of our listeners for sticking with us. We'll be back next week, and hopefully the Celtics will have a little more positive things for us to talk about. Thank you for listening.